with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy, and so here we are. 2 years have passed since a terrorist attack on U.S. soil left more than 3,000 people dead, U.S. citizens and citizens from dozens of other nations. During these 2 years, we and the world have waited for a full and factual investigation by the Bush administration, on whose watch this horrific crime occurred. We continue to wait. Not only has the Bush administration failed to conduct an official inquiry into this massacre, it has also attempted, successfully so far, to impede, delay, and ultimately halt any attempt to unravel the awful truths of September 11, 2001. We must ask why this administration has worked so long and so hard to kill any search for the truth. We must ask why phone calls were made by the highest-ranking Bush administration officials, George Bush and Dick Cheney, to Democratic congressional leaders demanding that any investigation be conducted on nothing more than a superficial level. We must ask why the FBI was used by the Bush administration to intimidate Democratic members of Congress. These members had the temerity to suggest publicly that cooperation was not being provided by the country's intelligence-gathering organizations, that, in fact, Congress was even being denied the simplest information needed for its, at best, cursory and incomplete attempt to get to the truth of 911. We must ask why renegade FBI agents, in other words, agents who refused to participate in the code of silence imposed by Attorney General John Ashcroft, why those agents were reassigned, censured, or otherwise disciplined for attempting to expose the criminal incompetence of the U.S. security and intelligence communities under the control of the Bush administration. We must ask why investigations prior to the awful events of September 11th, investigations into potential terrorist acts such as flying jetliners into densely occupied office buildings, were stopped by the Bush administration. We must ask why the rulers of Saudi Arabia, business partners of the Bush family, and the chief exporters of militant Islam were declared by the Bush administration to be off limits in any comprehensive investigation into the financing of global terrorism of the sort that resulted in the destruction of the Twin Trade Towers in New York City on September 11, 2001. We must ask why members of the extended bin Laden family, also business partners of the Bush family, were allowed to leave the U.S. shortly after the bombing on 9/11, yet without being questioned by the FBI or other U.S. investigators. This was at a time when less important Arab speakers and people from the Middle East were being swept up in a law enforcement net spread across the U.S. and jailed. We must ask why the U.S. Air Defense System, a multi-billion dollar system put in place specifically to guard against air attacks against us, had been ordered to stand down on September 11, 2001. We must ask why there was no response from the U.S. military when it became clear this nation was under attack. We must ask who issued those orders to stand down and why. We must ask why it was necessary immediately after 9/11 to pass federal legislation that, in effect, ended constitutional protections provided by the 1st, 4th, 5th, 8th, and 10th Amendments. We must ask why we were told by the highest law enforcement officer in the U.S., John Ashcroft, that any questions regarding these changes in domestic law by the public at large or members of Congress would be just short of an act of treason. We must ask why the Bush administration ordered an attack, both unlawful and against the demands of the global community, against two countries that provided not one of the bombers who committed mass murder in this country on September 11, 2001. We must ask why the country that did provide 15 of the 19 killers, Saudi Arabia, was spared the so-called shock and awe of U.S. military might. We must ask why Iraq, why Afghanistan. We must ask why the Bush administration, 2 years after that day of death and destruction, continues to participate in the covering up, the hiding, and the destruction of the facts regarding its failure of leadership that led directly to the awful events of September 11th. This failure of leadership, or worse, participation, active or passive, in the events leading to and following the attack on this country constitutes the greatest failure in this country's history. And if we are to consider this country, our country, to have even a minimal moral center, we must ask why the frustration, the pain, and yes, the agony of the families of those killed on September 11th, 2001, the sons and daughters, the wives and husbands, the mothers and fathers, why their pain does not register with nor matter to the Bush administration. I am reasonably certain that on the third anniversary of the awful and immoral and criminal events of September 11th, 2001, these questions still will not have been answered. I'm Mike Malloy.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Oh, 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 ice cold milk and an Oreo cookie. They forever go together, what a classic combination. When a dark, delicious cookie meets an icy cold sensation, like the one and only creamy, crunchy chocolate O-R-E-O, keeps your milk from getting lonely. Oh, 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 the one and only.
Only Oreo, in classic or chocolate cream.
Oh, 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 the one and only.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome. Happy Wednesday, 10th of September, 2003. Here we are. Boy, it is an amazing day and an amazing week. Tomorrow, the anniversary of 9/11. Thank you, Mike Malloy, for that hard-hitting and extraordinary piece. Well said. We're going to be doing a program tomorrow specifically on 9/11. I think today I want to go through some of the things that are peripherally related, that have more to do with the Bush administration and the spin that is being put on, right across the board, on the many different dimensions of what's going on with this administration. First of all, just yesterday, driving down the street, just tuning around the dial, you hear in the great right-wing echo machine of most of talk radio across this nation some really interesting things. I can pretty well predict it, because you get the talking points from the RNC and you get the Heritage Foundation briefings, and boom, you know what most of the right-wing talk radio hosts and what most of what the faux news commentators are going to be talking about that day. And they all tend to be talking about the same thing. And yesterday, it was kind of strange to me. Everybody was talking about Bush's character, his wonderful character. Isn't it? Thank God he's restored character to the White House and his and integrity. And there were a few folks who were going on and on about Bush is calling for a sacrifice on the part of the American people. $87 billion. Isn't that enough for you? And just, going on and on and on. And I was wondering, what is going on? Because I hadn't gotten any talking points from the RNC. I am on their lists. I hadn't gotten any talking points that said, hey, guys, today, talk about Bush's character and how he's asking America to sacrifice. And I had actually read the New York Times yesterday, but I apparently had just skipped over the editorial. And this from the Tuesday, 9th of September, it turns out that this whole vast right-wing machine was echoing coast to coast from more or less 9 in the morning until midnight yesterday in response to an editorial in the New York Times. Now, this was not an op-ed. This was not one of those articles by Sapphire or Crystal or Krugman or et cetera, Maureen Dowd. This was an editorial. When the New York Times or the Washington Post, in particular the New York Times, America's paper of record. When the New York Times runs an editorial, it gets taken very seriously. It gets at the right across the board. A New York Times editorial is something that will be picked up and run in Die Welt, in Germany, in Le Monde, in France, in newspapers all around the world. An editorial in the New York Times is one of the most heavy-hitting, solid, to be absolutely taken seriously, things that can happen in the print media, certainly. And in many regards, particularly given the response of the right-wing echo chamber yesterday, apparently in any media, because this tail wagged the entire dog of the electronic media all day yesterday. It was amazing. If you did any driving around or any listening, you heard this. And so what was it that got these folks so lathered up? The New York Times ran an editorial. The headline is Presidential Character. This is an unsigned editorial, meaning it represents the official position of the editorial board of the New York Times. This is the Times speaking, not some guy or some woman. This is the New York Times. And I just want to quote to you a few little pieces of it. The number of people living below the poverty line is rising. The trade imbalance has reached unnerving proportions, and the federal budget deficits have grown so huge that even the International Monetary Fund has begun expressing concern. And then they talk about George Bush and his judgment. His judgment about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq appears to have been wrong and, worse, hyped. And then they go on to say, other wrong turns, however, were chosen because of a fundamental flaw in the character of this White House. Despite his tough talk, Mr. Bush seems incapable of choosing a genuinely tough path, of risking his political popularity with the same aggression that he risks the country's economic stability and international credibility. For all the trauma the United States has gone through during his administration, Mr. Bush has never asked the American people to respond to new challenges by making genuine sacrifices. And this, and all, you know, I read that, and all of a sudden, the rant from one of the most bombastic of the right-wing hosts out there suddenly made sense, where he went on for nearly an hour about the sacrifices George Bush is asking us to make. This is one of the greatest sacrifices since World War II. This is it. $87 billion, that's not enough. Well, $87 billion, but who's going to pay for it? I mean, the way Bush proposed this, it's $87 billion and my children are going to pay for it, because he's just going to put it on the credit card. At least so far. I mean, that's what there was no word about how this is going to be paid for. Or are we going to cut back something? If so, what? The New York Times continues, he committed the military to war, but he told civilians they deserve big tax cuts. He seems determined to remake the Middle East without doing anything serious about reducing our dependence on Middle East oil. His energy policy is a grab bag of giveaways to domestic oil and gas lobbyists. He refuses to ask for even the smallest compromise when it comes to fuel-efficient cars. And then they go on to point out that his agenda, which ostensibly included such ambitious programs as lifting up America's least fortunate, particularly his No Child Left Behind education package, but in this, as in the African AIDS initiative, and even his controversial faith-based initiative for social services, Mr. Bush has been content to take the credit for proposing without paying the political dues necessary to get things done. And this, the New York Times is suggesting. Well, they continue. The president hedged on the price tag of the war, apparently out of fear that if Congress knew how high the bill was going to be, there wouldn't be enough votes for another round of tax cuts. Mr. Bush, oh, but even there, and then they talk about, you know, going to the United Nations and then snubbing the United Nations, and they say, but even there he avoided the hard choice of acknowledging his error and ceding real authority to other nations. This in his speech the other night where he says, let's go back to the UN. Diplomats are wondering, with good reason, whether Mr. Bush is embarking on a new era of international cooperation or simply giving them permission to clean up his mess. And then, and this is what had them absolutely foaming all day yesterday. And in fact, even after the Democratic debate last night on Faux News, they had a bunch of right-wingers sitting around essentially accusing the Democrats of having no character, no spine, no backbone, no ideas, blah, 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 blah. And George Bush is the paragon of wonder because of this last paragraph here in the New York Times editorial page yesterday. Mr. Bush is a man who was reared in privilege, who succeeded in both business and politics because of his family connections. The question during the presidential campaign was whether he was anything more than just a lucky guy. There were times in the past 3 years when he has been much more than that, and he may no longer be a man who expects to find an easy way out of difficulties, but now, at the moment when we need strong leadership the most, he is still a politician who is incapable of asking the people to make hard choices, and we are paying the price. And a substantial price. A very substantial price it is. Hans Blix yesterday, or I don't remember if this was yesterday or the day before, he was talking about the weapons of mass destruction. And again, back to Iraq. In fact, is Bush's handling of this Iraq situation a disaster for America? Let me just give you just a little clip here of Hans Blix. And his response to this.
They're never going to protect us from terrorists, but we still spend $30 billion.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the wrong clip. This is about the nuclear arsenal. Here's Hans Blix right here.
I'm not ever suggested that they were sort of willfully and consciously lying, but I think that they wanted to jump to conclusions. I said in the Security Council that if something is unaccounted for, it doesn't necessarily mean that they exist. And I think there was that tendency to jump to that conclusion.
He says, but they did more than just jump to a conclusion. He's of the opinion that...
We were there for 3.5 months, after all, and we did not find any smoking gun. And now that the U.S. has been, the U.K. have been there for quite some time, and they have the opportunity to interrogate people, they have had the whole cream of the Iraqi establishment in custody, and people should not be scared any longer to answer in the interviews. With this long period, I'm inclined to think that the Iraqi statement that they destroyed all the biological and chemical weapons which they had in the summer of 1991 may well be the truth.
May well be the truth. Now we're stuck there. We've got this situation. And there are these two theories, these two dueling theories of what's going on. I don't know. Some of you may have heard BBC News at 5 o'clock Eastern time this morning, which was when I heard it. And it was really interesting, the discussion that they had about this. President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, before we invaded Iraq, warned that if we invaded Iraq, because we would be perceived as, number one, invading an Arab country without provocation, which is in some ways how the Arabs perceive the existence of the State of Israel, for better or for worse, accurately or not. I mean, that's the shtick. That's the flag that they're waving. The UN came in and put these people in our land. And now, of course, the Israelis are saying, hey, we were there before the Arabs. And, you know, I don't want to get into that fight. But the point is that this has, in my opinion, this has the potential. And Mubarak was saying, you guys go into Iraq and you may end up with the same kind of situation that Israel has with the Palestinians right now, particularly if you try to handle it militarily. He said, Mubarak said, if you go in, you will create 100 bin Ladens. Not to mention tens of thousands of jihadists. Now, the flip side of this is the philosophy being put forth by the Bush administration, which is sometimes referred to as the flypaper theory, which is we go over there and we say, here we are, we're an easy target, and it brings all the bad guys out of the woodwork, and we can then kill them because they're all in one place. Which of these theories makes sense? Which is most likely to be true? What is the future of Iraq and the United States. And what does any of this have to do with 9/11? This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman is the con invasion, the conservative invasion of Iraq, destroying chances for democracy in the region. This is a very, very serious concern. And keep in mind George Bush's famous comment when he said, "I would like to speak to the Iraqi people," in his state, his address to the nation and to the world when he was announcing this invasion. And he said, "And now for a moment, I'd like to speak to the Iraqi people." And he turns and he looks at the camera and he says, "Your fate is going to be in your hands depending on your behavior." And then he says,
"Do not destroy oil wells."
Yeah, so we know that, you know, he could have said, "Please don't shoot at our people," or "Why don't you go to the mosques and pray, and we won't bomb any mosques, and pray for peace in the Middle East," or anything like that. No, he said,
"Do not destroy oil wells."
Right, yeah, and that's the first place our soldiers went to. Interesting. Is Bush's invasion of Iraq destroying chances for democracy in the region? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Philip in Florida is on the line. Hey, Philip, yeah. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi. You know, I have to ask a question here. What if when he gave his speech and he said he wants, what is it, I don't know, 85 million, 88 million, whatever.
Billion.
He said, I need another $88 million. We've already spent 57. I need $88 million to finish my work or continue my work in Iraq. And this is how I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of America, I got to raise your taxes so I can afford the $88 million that
billion.
I need because I'm already $500 million in the hole. Now,
Philip, it's billion, not million.
Billion, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. How many people would say, yeah, raise my taxes, pay for that? And how many of the right-wing ideologues on the radio would be saying, yep, we need to raise taxes to pay for this? No, they all see the whole thing is that Bush has and the boys on the right have said that we can have what we want. We can have a huge military. We can launch a new aircraft carrier, putting Bush's daddy's name on it. We can have all of this stuff, and not only don't we have to pay for it, I'll give you a tax cut besides. This is the chocolate ice cream soda diet. Eat all the chocolate ice cream soda you want and lose weight.
Yeah, it very much is.
But what if he said that? What if he said this? Or what if there was a law that said he had to tell us how he was going to pay for it? What if he said this is how I'm going to pay for it?
What if he just spoke the truth?
Huh?
Yeah. What if he just spoke the truth? I mean, what if he just said this is what it's going to take? This is.
Well, the truth is he's going to print the money.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
I don't think he's going to inflate the currency. He's going to borrow the money.
Well, same thing.
You only resort to printing the money if nobody will loan you money, which is another looming possibility.
But you know something? It's a distinction without a difference. By printing a bond on a piece of paper, okay, and selling that piece of paper, that's de facto creating money.
Yeah, you're right.
So he's going to print the money, in fact, to pay for this. What if he had turned around and said, "I know you're behind me, and that's why I'm going to ask you to sacrifice. The only way I can pay for it is if I increase your taxes to pay for this."
Yeah, what do you think Philip would have had?
Oh, his support would go down about nothing.
Yeah. See, this is, I agree, and Philip, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This, in my opinion, this is all about power and money. This is not, and in fact, I think that this is destroying chances for democracy in the region. That was a very fragile region, is a very fragile region. You got a bunch of people who are hanging on by their fingernails. The right-wing ideologues, the neocons, are all saying, oh, if we just establish one democracy, then all the rest of them will be very frightened. They'll have to become more democratic. Well, they're very frightened. They're very frightened that a civil war is going to break out right in their midst. That this is, I mean, we have waded into a room full of gasoline and pulled out a book of matches and said, okay, look out, guys. This is extremely dangerous. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The promise of the American dream turned into a nightmare for immigrant workers employed by the John Pickle Company of Tulsa. That's what 52 Indian immigrants argued as their case against the Oklahoma manufacturer opened this week in a federal court. The welders, fitters, and electricians say they were recruited to come to the U.S. through promises of high wages and furnished apartments. Instead, the workers charged they were paid only $2 to $3 an hour and forced to live in a factory dormitory. The John Pickle Company faces charges of human trafficking, violations of the Fair Labor Standards Act, and a discrimination charge from the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. The company argues the immigrants were trainees and not employees and therefore not entitled to minimum wage.
It's official. Woefully understaffed nursing homes and hospitals were directly related to the deaths of thousands of elderly French citizens during an August heat wave. A new government report says that 11,000 people died as a direct result of the heat, many of them in nursing homes. But numbers kept by doctors put the death toll closer to 15,000. The government says the understaffing problem at health facilities was made worse by the fact that many people were on their yearly vacation, typically taken in August in France.
California businesses could soon be required to purchase health insurance for their employees. A bill introduced by San Francisco Senator John Burton would require businesses that employ 20 or more workers to either purchase health insurance for them or to contribute funds to a state-run pool that would in turn provide health coverage. Companies with 200 or more employees would also be required to cover the families of workers. Already, the legislation faces fierce resistance from business groups and the California Chamber of Commerce, which argues the bill would have a $4 billion price tag and would drive business from the state.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good morning, Mr. PC. I trust you're doing fine. Your eyes are shining clearly, and your feet are keeping time.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Is the Bush invasion of Iraq, I'm reluctant to even call it a war. I mean, if you go up to somebody on the street, beat them senseless with a baseball bat, hire somebody to come in and go through their pockets to make sure that they don't have any weapons, break both their knees, keep them there for a few days, starving them, and then say, "Hey, I challenge you to a fight." I mean, that's sort of what has happened here. It's not as if, you know, devastatingly bombing the country in 1991. Completely wiping out their air force, bombing them on an almost daily basis for 11 years, and then you know, a dozen years of sanctions, and then saying, well, let's have a, and then sending UN inspectors in to find out if they have any weapons, and the UN inspectors say, nope, they're weapon free. These guys are harmless.
some of the very best inspectors on planet Earth. And then you say, okay, great, we'll have a war with these guys. So has the conservative invasion of Iraq destroyed chances for democracy in the Middle East? The flypaper theory is a fight fire with fire theory. And the problem with fighting fire with fire is that when you're done, like, for example, I mean, there actually is some logic to this with, for example, forest fires. But when you're done, everything is dead. Everything is burned. You burn this side, you burn that side. You know, that side runs into this side. It runs out of fuel. Do we really want to be able to create a situation where more and more people are coming in and saying, yeah, I'm ready to die for this. I'm going to participate and you know, was Hosni Mubarak right? Have we created 100 Osamas? Have we created 1 million or 500,000 or even 20, 30,000 more jihadists? It's certainly beginning to look that way. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Dallas is on the line. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, how are you, Tom?
Oh, hello, Jeff. Hey, it's Jeff from Radio Left, our old friend.
Yeah, I've been listening to you this morning, as I often do, and I think that there is absolutely no mystery about what George Bush is doing, and I think it has nothing to do with being incapable of asking the American people to do something difficult. I think what it has to do with is that what we need to do, which is loosen the reins of American corporations on profits from rebuilding Iraq, is something that is impossible for George Bush to do, because the people who invested in his candidacy and invest in the Republican Party would revolt and not give them any more money.
That's right. They want a return on their investment. I mean,
exactly.
This is so conspicuously clear. Halliburton and all this other stuff. You would have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to know what's going on, or at least blind and deaf.
That's absolutely true. And so I just find it amazing that no one is actually willing to stand up and say I think the Democratic candidates are being extremely mild and extremely deferential to George Bush, considering the kinds of things that they could say.
Yeah, the closest that any of them came to any of this was Dennis Kucinich twice last night in the debates saying no more sweetheart deals for Halliburton. And you know, we really shouldn't be over there to protect the profits of Halliburton. And I think maybe Carol Moseley-Brown talked about this also. She continues to really impress me. But in any case, but you're right. I think that, frankly, what is happening there is so bizarre, it is so over the top, that people are afraid to talk about it for fear that they'll be taken as a conspiracy nut.
Right.
You know, we declared war to make profits for Dick Cheney's former company, Halliburton, which is still paying him $1 million. Can you imagine if the Whitewater Land Investment Company had been paying Hillary Clinton $1 million a year all the years that she was in the White House?
Oh, it was unbelievable. And by the way, Fox News, that debate last night, I think that the Democratic Black Caucus made a horrible mistake by giving it exclusively to Fox, because what Fox did is they attacked the Democrats for hours before the debate, and then they analyzed the debate by attacking it for hours after the debate. And none of the other media really carried it, because it was a Fox exclusive. So what they did is they allowed Fox to destroy the impact of the Black Caucus debate by giving it to them exclusively.
Yeah, I the same thing. After the debate was over, Louise and I were sitting there, and they were introducing, you know, here's Morton and what's his name, and here is the bunch who's going to discuss it. And I'm going, where's the Democrat?
Right.
there isn't one. Well, of course not. This is faux news. This is Roger Ailes' operation. And yeah, I think that they may have shot themselves in the foot, and the LaRouches didn't help out much. But that's their mission in life. That's what they do. Jeff, thanks very much for calling and for pointing that out. I appreciate your calling and sharing with us, and it's always great to hear from Radio Left down there in Dallas. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Paul in Hollywood's on the line. Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tom. Well, it's morning where I am anyway. What if you had a company that only made money off of war, like the Carlyle Group or the Halliburton Group, and you could create those wars, and you can keep all your money offshore, and you could absolutely destroy an economy, just like the Russian economy was by a military buildup. And then offshore, you can switch your account into euros at any time you want while that the other economy is collapsing. And then you buy back the dollars as they build up.
Well, this, you're describing the situation right now in the Carlyle Group and the Cayman Islands and the Bahamas and Bermuda. Or maybe not Bermuda, the Bahamas, isn't it? Yeah. And go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to switch off that, but go ahead, finish.
Well, I was just saying it has reached the point now where the corporate power in this country and around the world, but in this country in particular, because in England, for example, if you're running for parliament, you cannot spend, as I recall, over £100,000. There's an absolute cap on the amount of money that a politician can spend, and so there. The corporate influence is dramatically minimized in other countries, and I'm trying right now to compile a list. If anybody has this, I'd love to hear from them. In other countries, the elections are paid for. That is, the electioneering is paid for by the people. We had a show the other day where we talked about the fact that if every American simply contributed $5 a year on their annual tax return, $5 a year, it would be equivalent to all of the money that was spent in the entire 2000 election cycle. So you could have, you know, a full-blown national election, House, Senate, and presidential elections, $5 per person per year. But without something like that, without some sort of constraint, what we have is a situation where corporations have taken over our government. We are sliding rapidly into new feudalism, into neo-feudalism, and it could be the end of democracy. I am convinced it won't be. I am convinced that people are going to rise up and say, enough! We're not going to put up with this anymore! But and that they are. And you're seeing it in Cancun now and so on. But it's not a pretty scene, and it's going to take some time, I think. Your second point, Paul. You had another point you were going to make?
Oh, I was going to say I had a good conversation with people in the know, and they said the bigger problem that's about to happen is there isn't going to be anybody that will fight over there. None of the National Guard units are getting people. Nobody's walking into recruiting things, so there isn't going to be anybody to go over there, and they don't even want to go down that road about what's about to happen there.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, thanks for the comment, and thanks for the call. And in fact, this is the going back to the 60s, in my experience in the 60s, I am convinced that actually we should always have a draft, and not just because, gee, it would be a good thing for young people. I think that that's actually there's some reality to that, but mostly because nations with drafts, nations with civilian armies, tend not to be nations that end up being taken over by the military. Now, the only thing that prevents our military from being an elite force that is entirely committed just to itself and has the potential to end up taking over the government in a military coup, as we've seen so many times happen around the world, is the fact that our economy is so badly in the tank that you have people like Jessica Lynch who are joining the army not because they want to, you know, a gung-ho military, want to serve my country. You know, yeah, of course, everybody has a feeling of love for their country and patriotism, but many, if not most, of the people in the armed forces right now in the United States, at least below the sergeant grade, are in there because it's a job. It's a job. I mean, how many other jobs are there? But now that it's a job where the chances are really high that you might die, you might get disease. It's 120 degrees in the shade. And a lot of people, and I think that instituting the draft is a good thing. And I agree with who proposed it. I think it might have been Al Sharpton who proposed the draft. And 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. 1-800-829-37 is the Bush invasion throwing chances for democracy in the region. Will, in Atlanta, what are your thoughts on this matter?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if it's destroying democracy in one of the cradles of democracy, at least in the Western Hemisphere, I think it's not going to be doing Iraq any good as they tap its oil reserves. But agreeing with the previous caller, or with you, I think they ought to make it a felony to give or receive a campaign contribution and completely de-link politics from money. Because right now what we have is the best government money can buy. And we know this is feudalism. This is the new, this is not the old Caesarism. If you go back to the Bush genealogy, you can see that they're tied in with the old, the ancien regime, you know, on our dollar bill. the back of the U.S. seal, the great seal, it says Nobis Ordo Seclorum, the new secular order. And that's what it means if you've ever taken Latin. I have a Latin-English dictionary. That's what it means no matter what anybody else wants to say. It means the new secular order. And if you read Tom Paine's Common Sense, you understand that they were supplanting the old order. And the old order was monarchy and the monarchy of religion, popery. That we came here to have individual sovereignty, and Bush serves the same. Well, his grandfather put Hitler on the map for the old order. If you read Mein Kampf, that's why it's illegal to read in Germany or to buy or sell, because he explains that he's fighting for the Holy Church and for the titled aristocracy that is the black aristocracy. And in fact, Bush's grandfather was a member of the Knights of Malta. So what we have is a fascist state here with this Reichstag fire of 9/11, whose anniversary is tomorrow. We know that Bush's father was in with the Kennedy hit, and right is right is wrong is wrong, and we need to just, it's not just stopping being gentlemanly at these debates. We have to find prosecutors who are willing to bring action and expropriate the wealth that the Rockefellers and Bush pyramid, the oil oligarchy, has built on criminal activity. I mean, it's just, yeah. Are we going to be Americans or are we going to be slaves?
Will, I have to say, broadly, I agree with your sentiments, and thank you for the call. I appreciate your comments. And yeah, I think that when we get into things like linking Bush Sr. to the JFK hit and stuff like that, even if it's true, and I know that there is in the Warren Commission documents some reference to the congressman from Texas, which at that time was George Herbert Walker Bush, calling about, you know, that he had some information about the Bush hit and then later denying it. But we weaken our arguments. I think it's important to state to the point. And your first point I thought was excellent. The founders of this country were very, 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 very clear that when they created this nation, that historically there had been three forms of tyranny that had held people from the beginning of Mesopotamia, you know, the Iraq literally is the cradle of civilization. The Epic of Gilgamesh is the oldest written story in the world. And it's from Ur and Uruk, which are cities just north of Baghdad, and are the remnants of cities. And that there were three historical tyrants. There was the tyranny of kings, of warlords, of people who kept people enslaved by continuous warfare. There was the tyranny of popes and theocrats, the theocracies. And there was the tyranny of feudalism, the tyranny of rule by the rich. And it's so explicit. You read, I've been living inside Thomas Jefferson's head now for a couple of years. I'm working on this book, The Athens Experiment, and reading his letters, and it's just remarkable. You know, his submission of a proposed amendment to the Constitution that ended up getting rejected because the founders felt, or the framers, those who were writing the Constitution, felt there was no need for it because every state had these laws that would have said there was an absolute ban on commercial monopolies. A ban on commercial monopolies. In other words, corporations cannot own stock in other corporations. They can't join together. They can't corporate. The corporations couldn't form essentially unions. And here, this from the Wisconsin statute. This is Section 4479A, Section 1, Chapter 492 of the Wisconsin Law of 1905. And I've shared this with you before. In fact, last time I did, I blew our station off the air. But I just want, it's so worth repeating. This is an actual law that was on the books in the United States, essentially from the founding of this country in every state in the Union up until, in Wisconsin, this actually didn't get knocked down until the 1940s. Political contributions by corporations. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or consent or agree to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind, or to promote the defeat or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. The penalty, any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act will be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than one nor more than 5 years, or by both fine and imprisonment. If the corporation shall be subject to a penalty, then by forfeiture in double the amount, and if a domestic corporation, it shall be dissolved. The death penalty for corporations. And that was the law all across the United States because they wanted to prevent this third historic tyranny, the tyranny of rule by the rich, of feudalism from rising up, and they knew that corporations historically were the agent of that. We overthrew the East India Company. It was the core of the American Revolution. And now they're back. And now they're back big time. And now they have this administration in their hand. In fact, this administration is them. Is the conservative invasion of Iraq destroying chances for democracy in the region? Is it destroying chances for democracy surviving in America? Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
This is Mike Malloy. Another year has passed since the attacks against us on September 11th, 2001. Another year and still the refusal of the Bush administration to investigate the massacre of 3,000 people on U.S. soil. Another year of killing authorized by the Bush administration of civilians in two countries who had absolutely nothing to do with the terrorism conducted against us. Another year marking the absolute failure of leadership of the Bush administration. How much longer until we, the citizens of this country, say enough? I'm Mike Malloy.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
Mike Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hate when he does that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman, here on the IE America Radio Network. Just a couple of reminders, as it were. If you want to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartman.com or TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat link button. It'll drop you in there. There's, I don't know, a bunch of folks in there, a long list, and having a fascinating conversation. This weekend, I will be speaking along with Dennis Kucinich, Representative or Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Congressman John Conyers. The three of us will be speaking, and Marianne Williamson, the four of us will be speaking at the Renaissance Alliance annual convention, which will be held at the Crystal City Hyatt in Washington, D.C. And I'll be speaking there on Saturday or Sunday. I think I'm going to be on a panel on Saturday and speaking on Sunday morning. And you can get more information about that, again, if you go to TomHartmanShow.com or TomHartman.com and click on my schedule. And there's a link right there to their website, and that'll give you information on that. Today is day 213 of the hunt for mass weapons of mass destruction, day 728 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, Osama bin Laden. And Brian in New Jersey has a comment on the New York Times editorial. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I just wanted to applaud the New York Times. I think that's great that they spoke out against Bush. There's not many
people. I think it's
people.
Astounding.
It's incredible. I read all your books. I think they're great. I've also read a book recently by Mark Hertzgard. It's called The Eagle Shadow. It talks a lot about the press and what we see and what we don't see. And for the New York Times to do that, there's going to be a smile on my face for the rest of the day, maybe the rest of the week. Let's hope other people follow that and just I want other people to see this. Turn off your television and read the New York Times, because that's awesome. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, Brian. Thanks for the call, and thanks for your kind words. I appreciate it. And in fact, if you go to NewYorkTimes.com and you read any article, there's a little thing over on the right-hand side that says most forwarded articles or most emailed articles, and you'll find this editorial. Or if you go to CommonDreams.org, which is my favorite source for that kind of information. And in fact, I submitted a piece to them this morning. We'll see if it runs this afternoon. CommonDreams.org, about something that's in the Project for a New American Century that I thought was shocking. And we'll talk about it in the next hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan is pushing now for the United States, Russia, Britain, France, and China to all meet this coming Saturday in Geneva. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Negroponte, says American officials are hoping this meeting will lead to a compromise on the U.S. draft resolution in the Security Council concerning Iraq.
It incorporates a lot of thinking that we've heard around the table. And we think it's a constructive and an important resolution.
That draft resolution is asking for nations to contribute troops and money to a military force in Iraq already approved by the United Nations that would remain under United States control. All five nations invited to the meeting, of course, have veto power in the Security Council. One Iraqi child was killed and more than 50 people wounded after a suicide bomber exploded in northern Iraq earlier today. Residents in the town of Arbil say the car bomb detonated in front of a house that's been used by American intelligence agents. Six employees of the Defense Department are among those wounded. That blast rocked the northern Iraqi town less than a day after an American soldier was killed in an explosion along a road near Baghdad. Overnight, meanwhile, American forces in Tikrit staged several raids detaining suspected bomb makers. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has cut short a visit to India now to return home following yesterday's double suicide bombings. 15 people were killed in those two attacks. Also today, Israeli forces launched a missile attack into Gaza City, apparently aimed at the political leader of the militant group Hamas. Mahmoud al-Zahir survived, but his son and a bodyguard were killed. Soon-to-be Palestinian Prime Minister Ahmed Korea says the tit-for-tat killings cannot go on.
The killing of the Palestinian people, collective punishment of the Palestinian people, will not solve the problem. The only thing will solve the problem, let's think seriously, how to make peace, and within that, how to make security.
The Israelis say the Palestinian Authority has to control militant groups if there is to be peace.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Tomorrow, of course, marks the second anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks against New York City and Washington, D.C. In all, over 3,000 people were killed in those attacks, including hundreds of New York City police and rescue workers. Tomorrow, a memorial service is planned at the former World Trade Center site. The Port Authority will also hold a service at a nearby church that will be attended by Vice President Deming. Overwhelming security for Cheney that would, quote, inconvenience family members at Ground Zero. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced Cheney would not attend those services.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health. the multivitamin with more for your health.
A 33-year-old computer expert has now been sentenced to death for his part in last year's Bali nightclub bombings. Imam Samudra was found guilty of helping to organize those attacks, which killed over 200 people. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Judges in Sumatra said the charges against Imam Samudra had been conclusively proven. As the verdict was read out, he cried out, "God is great." The 33-year-old's lawyers plan to appeal the verdict. Samudra is the second of the suspects in the Bali bombing case to be sentenced to death. A man called Amrozi received the same verdict in August. The court ruled the prosecution had proven that Imam Samudra played a crucial strategic role in the Bali attack and was in effect the brains of the operation. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And over 500 alleged victims of sexual abuse by Catholic priests in the Boston area are now considering a settlement that would give each claimant between $80,000 and $300,000. Lawyers hope to have a formal settlement agreement to sign in 7 days. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop.
Okay, so you want one good reason to get LoJack installed in your car. Well, unfortunately, I can't give you that. But I can give you three. LoJack has a 90% recovery success rate. LoJack has helped recover over 100,000 vehicles worldwide. And LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. So if you still want just one good reason to get LoJack, that last one should do quite nicely. To find a dealer near you, visit LoJack.com. And keep it close.
Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Attention pamphleteers, says Joe or John in San Diego. I've been ranting here for months, for most of this year, about the importance of becoming pamphleteers and organizing committees of correspondence. The ways that the American Revolution was started and really encouraged and fought, and the way that democracy succeeded afterwards, the abolition movement won ultimately. The way that the women's suffrage movement won was through pamphleteering and committees of correspondence. Committees of correspondence where you get together with other people or you just do it yourself, but it's better to create a network and submit letters to the editor of your newspapers or variations. Now we have electronic versions. And pamphleteering, of course, the modern pamphlet these days is the internet page. If you find a web page that really has something to say, send it to somebody, pass it along, share it with others, print it out, go to meetings, pass them around. So anyhow, John in San Diego sent this email. This is very timely. He says, "Attention pamphleteers! Posted to the message board link is a link to MSNBC's website, which is taking questions for John McCain's Thursday interview about 9/11. And I think you can find this if you just go to MSNBC.com. And because the link is all full of long stuff, but it's on an Alterman article. And so he went in and he says, "I asked a very specific, albeit long question of why is there not an aggressive independent investigation of the possibility of treason given evidence of PNAC's positions pre-9/11. That's the New American Project for a New American Century, Cheney's Energy Task Force secrets, which we've just, Judicial Watch has just released the papers from the Cheney Energy Task Force that they pried out with a lawsuit showing that 6 months before 9/11, Dick Cheney was sitting down with Exxon and Halliburton, and they were carving up the oil fields of Iraq. Naming the oil fields and defining dozens and dozens of corporations around the world in the oil business who were potential customers for Iraq's oil. Anyhow, back to John's letter. The Saudi and Bin Laden connection cover-up and the lack of fighters being scrambled on 9/11, etc. Especially in light of how much effort was put into an investigation of a $40,000 land deal that flopped and produced no evidence of any wrongdoing by the Clintons and still nearly resulted in the impeachment of the president. So, John, thank you for that heads-up. And folks can check that out. We have a piggies alert here. This as the corporate piggies are at the trough here. These are the bigger piggies in their starched white shirts. But they always have clean shirts. Our piggy alert for the day is Halliburton Corporation. Two little bits of Halliburton in the news. Of course, they're in the news all the time. This from the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. A federal district court judge here, this is good news for Halliburton, threw out a suit claiming Halliburton Company and Vice President Dick Cheney, its former CEO, overstated revenue by changing the accounting treatment for cost overruns on construction jobs. The charges that they said that they made $445 million between 91 and 2001 when Cheney was the head of the company that they didn't actually make, and that they did this to inflate stock values, and, you know, Cheney was doing this for nefarious reasons. And Judicial Watch, Larry Klayman is who brought that lawsuit. It was struck down, but he says he's going to appeal. He says there's nothing in the judge's decision that dissuades Judicial Watch from the concern that there's something amiss here, and he doesn't intend to drop the case. And at the same time, the Securities and Exchange Commission is continuing a probe of the company's accounting. The other bit of news for Halliburton, from Corporate Watch, an article by Solomon Hughes, special to Corporate Watch. This is actually from some time back, but it's a continuing, this is one of those ongoing things. This has to do with the Devonport Royal Dockyards. This is the shipyards that have housed the British Navy since the days that they fought the American Revolution. I mean, this goes. I mean, Britain didn't become an imperial and seaworthy power until the early 1600s. They were basically, you know, this kind of third-rate feudal and warlord state up until the late 1500s, and the Spanish and the Dutch in particular were taking over the region, particularly with regard to trade. And the East India Company was launched in December of 1600. Signed, authorized by Queen Elizabeth I to compete specifically with the Dutch East India Company and the Dutch other Dutch spice companies, other Dutch trading companies. So anyhow, they've had these shipyards there ever since then. And they have always been the property of the British government. They're the home to four nuclear-powered Trident submarines, each one carrying 48 atomic weapons. Well, in 1997, Tony Blair... This is the third way, right? This was Bill Clinton's shtick. This is the Democratic Leadership Council's thing. This is the takeover of the Democrats in the United States and labor in Great Britain by corporate powers. This is the overreaching, the reaching out and grabbing of corporate feudalism. That back in 97, Tony Blair decided it was time to privatize this thing. See, the theory, and it's just a theory, this is a religion put forward by these corporate true believers, is that corporations can always do things more efficiently than government, and therefore we should simply turn everything over to the government, or over to the corporations. The commons should become private. Now, in reality, corporations very often can do things more efficiently than government, but at what price? At what price? I'm going to get into that in some more detail in just a few minutes, because it is shocking. It is amazing what has happened over the years. But in addition to that, even if a corporation can do something more efficiently than government, when you add on the fact that the corporation then has to make a profit, pay dividends to its stockholders, pay high, you know, inflated salaries to its senior executives and CEOs, have corporate headquarters, has marketing costs, advertising costs, corporate jets, blah, 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 blah. By the time you're all done, corporations almost never can do functions as efficiently as government. And yet the lie persists because there's huge profits to be made in that lie. So Halliburton Chief Executive Officer Dick Cheney took a tour of the Devonport dockyards back in April of 2000, following which he met with labor ministers and military officials at a conference on military privatization in Oxford. A division of Halliburton is Brown and Root, and a division of Brown and Root, or a consortium led by Brown and Root, is called Devonport Management. This is the private company that Tony Blair was going to hand the dockyards over to, that have been there since the since before the 1600s, that really started becoming useful. Dick Cheney said, and I quote, "My general impression is that our British colleagues are far ahead of us in the U.S. in the extent to which they have adopted changes in culture, attitude, and style of operation that are required for successful privatization efforts," end quote. Not surprisingly, Cheney's new job as vice president has coincided with a major increase in military privatization in the United States, with Halliburton profiting handsomely from contracts to supply U.S. troops around the world, from Bosnia to Uzbekistan. Meanwhile, Halliburton has allegedly been milking their British colleagues for as much money as they can get. And this is where it gets weird. The British government is now saying that Halliburton was sloppy with both safety and pricing from the very beginning. That their poor performance cost, and I'm quoting from a short statement issued by the DML company, saying that the poor performance only increased cost by $30 million. Because the government's saying it was a lot more than that. But while the Navy were confident of victory in the courts, Halliburton was still able to blackmail millions out of the contract because, in the words of the NAO, the government had, quote, little room for maneuver because they had nowhere else to go. I mean, you got one dockyard, you got one company running it. They've got their fingers in every little piece of it. And it just goes on and on and on. It's a big disaster. And in fact, the worst part of it now, it turns out, in October of 2001, Halliburton was fined $94,000. For exposing 24 workers to asbestos. And Plymouth magistrates, these are, you know, judges in this area, were told that some of these men affected think that their days are numbered. The HSE representative said, at the end of the day, up to 24 young men must now agonize for 40 years whether at some stage they are going to suffer symptoms of mesothelioma, asbestosis, or cancer. Halliburton got out of this. 24 men they condemned, and they paid a $94,000 fine for it. And the residents of the area are now concerned that Halliburton is planning to discharge radioactive tritium into the Tamar River. And so on it goes, on it goes. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Pablo in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Pablo, welcome back to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Pablo?
Doing pretty good. Did you catch the Democratic debate last night?
I did.
An interesting thing, did you see when Juan Williams asked Howard Dean the question about his views on Israel and Palestine, and it was kind of a specific question about something he had said about negotiating, but then after the question, he immediately went to Joe Lieberman, who...
Sure.
It seemed like a setup where Lieberman...
It was.
And I thought,
I mean, it was a setup in as much as Juan Williams already knew what these guys' position was, and he was, you know, let's stir up a fight here. And I'm glad he did. You know, it's good to bring these positions out in the open.
Yeah. Another thing, the evening before on CNN, Paula Zahn did an interview with Dean.
Yeah.
And she asked him some very specific questions about Iraq, and then after he was gone, she brought in this reporter, Joe Klein, who just jumped all over Dean. It was kind of a similar sort of setup where they're, you know, for good or bad, they're going after Dean to try to, you know, see if they can make him look silly, in effect.
Well, what you got now, Pablo, is you have the Republicans have been picking on Dean for some time. I mean, you got Bimbo out there calling him Nikita Dean, and you got all, you know, all these... They number one, are... They were originally professing hope that he got the nomination. Now they're clearly afraid of him. and in attack mode. And number two, you've got DLC Democrats, the corporatized Democrats, and their wealthy spokesmen. There are a lot of quote Democrats end quote out in the media who are these multimillionaire media stars, and they're basically conservative Democrats. I don't know how to call it beyond that. You know, conservative in that they're saying feudalism is good. It's okay if the corporations take over. And when Howard Dean comes along, somebody like Howard Dean comes along, or Dennis Kucinich, but Dean clearly has a greater chance. It scares him, and so now he's being attacked by both sides. You were going to say.
I'm breaking up here. I'll have to go.
Okay.
Bye.
That's okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, Pablo. This is the new dimension of the, you know, assuming that Hillary and Wesley don't get into this thing, then, which I would not rule out. The new thing is going to be watch the Democrats pick on Howard. This is Tom Hartman in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well, we
needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Oh, man. I forgot to bring my camera on Safari.
No problem. Just use my phone.
Now at Radio Shack, get the new Verizon Wireless VX6000 digital camera phone. With zoom control and three resolution levels, it's a handy companion anywhere. And it's only $149.99 with activation after a $50 mail-in rebate.
Is this the zoom or are those elephants getting bigger?
At Radio Shack, $50 Radio Shack mail-in rebate with two-year annual agreement. Offer good through 9/25 with purchase and activation. $175 early termination fee applies. Details in store.
Sound the alarms. Bring the children indoors. Call out the gendarmes. Tom Mad Dog DeLay is off his leash again. The Texas Republican is majority leader of the U.S. House, and the more power he gets, the weirder he becomes. Remember the egomaniacal extremism of Newt Gingrich? DeLay is Newt on Viagra. Not a pretty image. A former pest exterminator from the Houston suburbs, he has steadily wormed and squirmed his way to the political top, effectively becoming boss of the House. He's done it by making himself the legislative point person for the most extreme right-wing groups, by creating a far-flung network of rabidly partisan political operatives throughout the country, and by using his public position to extract huge sums of campaign money from corporate lobbyists who need legislative favors. Indeed, DeLay is known as the Hammer for his mafia-like demands that lobbyists give money only to Republicans, and for his insistence that lobbying firms hire no Democrats, only Republicans, or see their legislative demands die. Not content to be a partisan monkey wrench in the House, he's now branching out to the supposedly independent judicial branch of government. In an unprecedented attempt at political intimidation, he has created a 13-member task force of House Republicans to monitor all decisions of all federal judges, with the blatant intention of browbeating any who fail to toe the right-wing and corporatist ideological lines. DeLay, doing his best imitation of Joe McCarthy, unabashedly said, "Today, we in the House are putting America's judges on alert. We are watching you." The chair of DeLay's new McCarthy-esque witch hunt, harking back to Tom's exterminator days, says that they are out to, quote, disinfect the judiciary. This is Jim Hightower saying, DeLay is not merely a delusional nutball, he's dangerous. The exterminator has become the pest.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back, friends, greetings, patriots from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live from coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, also streaming live from the depths, from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Network, Sirius Satellite Radio System, and also on three different internet radio stations, radiopower.org, IEAmericaRadio.com, and Live365.com. This is the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. In this hour, I want to get into, is Bush's handling of an inherited economy different from Clinton's? I mentioned yesterday one of the big right-wing talking points that got sent out to all the talk show hosts. The two big right-wing talking points that I know of for this week are, number one, Howard Dean is unstable and he gets angry easily. And I've lived here in Vermont. I am broadcasting at this moment live from the People's Republic of Vermont. And Howard Dean was my governor for 8 years. He was governor here for 10 years, but I've only lived here 8 years. And a little bit more than that, but 8 years under him. And I never saw him get angry. I mean, I've never seen any evidence of this. But this is one of the right-wing talking points. And the other is that the economy is bad because Bush inherited a bad economy from Clinton. And we're going to drill into that a little bit and give you the information that you can use to win the water cooler wars the next time listener to right-wing radio offers you their thoughts on Bush just inherited a bad economy. And nonsense. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Kay in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Kay, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
I listen to you on local KTRC as much as I can.
Wonderful. KTRC
really doing
is a
good
station.
Service.
Thank you, Kay.
I would like to offer a new idea regarding all the things that we talk about on this program and in the press every day. We're talking about symptoms. When we talk about the economy and the right wing and the left wing and different personalities, we're talking about symptoms of a disease. And it seems to me that the disease is that perhaps we're all operating on a false premise. I say that because democracy and capitalism were conceived to operate on the premise that the participants would be honest and just.
Actually, Kay, if I may interrupt you, I disagree.
Sure.
There was a lengthy, I mean, read the Federalist Papers. There was a lengthy discussion about how do we create a union, a system that will work in the presence of
yes.
scoundrels, in the presence of people who don't have the best interests of democracy. In fact, one of the reasons that John Adams was defeated, the largest reason, of course, in the election of 1800 was because of the Alien and Sedition Acts, but another part of it was because Tench Cox had published a letter that Adams had written to him in which he expressed what were called back then monarchist sentiments, you know, fondness for the old country, and people were wondering if he was even a patriot.
Well, even back then, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to go back even further to the Greeks. That democracy was conceived on a small scale. And for democracy and capitalism both to succeed, they cannot succeed when they have grown to such a tremendous size that monitoring every facet for honesty and justice is now impossible. Therefore, I'd like to pose the question that, are we operating on the false premise that democracy and capitalism can work on a large scale?
Yeah, that's a good one, an important one. You know, the other night on Bill Moyer's Now program, they were looking at the impact of globalization, and they had Vedana Shiva, I think is
yes,
how it's, her
I
name
thought.
Is pronounced, Yeah, and she made the point, and this is something I wrote about. I wrote an entire book about this called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, or at least a third of the book is about it. She made the point that in order for democracy or capitalism to successfully work, but particularly democracy, they will work in a way that benefits communities when they are small and local. We here in New England have the town meetings. And democracy works here in New England. It's really quite remarkable. Kay, thanks for raising that question. We'll get into it a little more after the break. I appreciate your call. This is Tom Hartman, The Vast Radical Middle Conspiracy on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Birds that are migrating to their winter homes sometimes fly to exhaustion around transmission towers. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Communication towers for radio and TV might be hazardous to birds that are on their migration to and from their winter homes. Various studies have documented that hundreds of thousands of birds die annually at these towers, but the studies have not given scientists a clear understanding of why this is happening. Al Manville is a wildlife biologist who works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in its Division of Migratory Bird Management. He's the agency's top representative to look at the problems of avian impacts and structural issues. Manville says the birds appear to get confused when they're flying and come close to transmission towers, especially when they see their lights at night.
Documentation has shown in studies that the birds will be attracted to the lights, and they then seem to fly around the lights and the towers in sort of a little tornado of birds, and in the process of flying around the towers, they strike the guy wires, they may strike the towers, they may strike themselves, or they may become totally disoriented or exhausted, and in some cases actually crash to the ground.
Manville says that scores of independent studies over the past 50 years have documented this problem. He says it appears that part of the problem occurs when migrating birds encounter rough weather and drop down to lower altitudes.
The combination of the bad weather and the birds moving lower and the attraction of the light may create a fatal recipe for a number of birds, as we've seen documented well in the literature back into the late 1940s.
Manville says studies are underway to try to figure out the importance of tower height and lighting on the bird mortalities. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping, because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time he gets done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Here they come again. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We were young with all of our life. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
if the Democrats can catch George Bush. There is this huge catch-us-if-you-can going on. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. There's huge catch-us-if-you-can going on right now with this rampant, mind-boggling corporate corruption that you will not hear discussed on the right-wing talk radio programs. This massive corporate corruption that has pervaded the highest levels of this administration and has virtually seized complete control of the Republican Party in the United States and a good chunk of the Democratic Party as well. And this is not a new thing in America. Kay raised a great point and an important one. And, you know, back in 1828... And I want to thank Sally Ann Helf, by the way, for sending me an email and reminding me of this stuff and summarizing it some of it very well. Back in 1828, Andrew Jackson was elected president of the United States, in large part because in the years between Thomas Jefferson in 1800 and Jackson in 1828, the spoil system rose up. This didn't even exist under the administrations, to a large extent, didn't even exist under the administrations of Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. But as time went on, this thing of it became pretty conspicuous: bribery, forgery, the whole patronage system of using power to increase wealth, using political power, using the power of the United States government to increase personal or corporate wealth. And Andrew Jackson railed against this.
We can't have it.
And he won in 1828 in large part because people were so upset about this. There was a law that was passed. It took another 50 years. But in 1883... there was a law passed called the Pendleton Civil Services Bill. Now, this law, this 1883 law, the Pendleton Law, is the target, or one of the main targets, of the Bush administration in huge regard with this evisceration of civil service. They are going after this thing. Now, they're going after it for two reasons. Back in May 12th of 2003, the New Yorker magazine quoted Karl Rove as saying, and I quote,
"Bigger government strengthens the Democratic Party. It generates federal employees who will mostly vote Democratic. Conversely, smaller government helps Republicans."
I wonder why government employees would vote Democratic. Well, it could be because they're union members. It could be because they're on the inside and they're seeing what's going on and they think that the Democrats are doing a better job of running. It could be that what would the cons say? They would say it's because they are feathering their own nests, as if corporations have never feathered their own nests, as if the con multimillionaires in the Republicans' club in the Senate and the House of Representatives have never feathered their own nests. Give me a break. But, of course, the privatization does produce more Republicans because it hands, or at least it produces, I would say it actually doesn't produce more Republicans. It ultimately produces more Democrats because it throws more people into poverty. But it produces more Republican campaign dollars. And keep in mind, that's the whole thing here. Producing Republican campaign dollars. And so we have this situation where, as Sally Ann says, Bush, Rove, and Rumsfeld are destroying 120 years of federal integrity among government workers for the lining of their personal pockets and theirs of their and those of their friends. I mean, why else? Why else would George Bush slip through an administrative rule like he did the other day, allowing over 10,000 power plants and other factories that produce air pollution to actually increase their levels of air pollution? I mean, just slapping down the EPA. It's going to cause tens of thousands of cases of premature death Bernie Sanders is estimating 20,000 a year. Hundreds of thousands of cases of increased cases of asthma and illness. There's a very real cost to this, a cost to society. But there's also some very real profits to be made by the power industry that gives more than 70% of its contributions, according to Bernie Sanders, to the Republicans. So, anyhow, let's deal with this. Is Bush handling, how is Bush's handling of an inherited economy different from that of Bill Clinton's? Here's the irony. Conservatives claim that Clinton inherited an economic boom and Bush inherited the stock market bust. I actually heard a conservative say this the other day on the radio. Yeah, Clinton benefited from the Reagan tax cut and Bush inherited the disaster that Clinton created. Well, let's look at reality here. In 1992, keep in mind, we just, in the last 3 months, hit a point where the number of unemployed people in the United States was higher than it has ever been in the history of this country, with the exception of the Great Depression, or at least as long as they've been keeping reasonable records since the Great Depression. It was higher than at any point, and the previous all-time record was 1991-1992 under the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush. 9.6 million people unemployed. 9.6 million. There's about 10 million unemployed right now. 10.7 is one of the more commonly used numbers. Keep in mind, there's only about 100 million people in the American workforce. So we've got 9.6 million people unemployed in 1992 when Bill Clinton came into office. The highest number of unemployed people since the Great Depression. Yes, he certainly inherited the results of the Reagan tax cut. And in 2000, when George W. came into office, 2001, there were 5.6 million unemployed. One of the lowest levels since the 50s and 60s. Well, let's look at family incomes. Representative Dick Armey, the Republican of Texas. Whenever I see this guy, it's like watching a robot. Anyhow, he says, two factors combined to make up the Clinton crunch. Now, see, this was back when Bill Clinton first came into office and unemployment was desperate, terrible as a result of the Reagan tax cuts and the Bush tax policies of trickle-down economics. This whole supply-side economics thing had been so completely discredited by that point. And Bill Clinton came in and he said, we need to raise the tax, the income tax, on the richest 1.4% of Americans. Oh, they went ballistic. He passed this through Congress by one vote, and not one single Republican voted for this. Not one. And Dick Armey says two factors combined to make up the Clinton crunch, which is what they called it the first year that he was in office. Taxes going up and incomes going down. Well, in fact, during the 8 years that Bill Clinton was president, the average family income went up by $5,000. Trent Lott said, speaking of now 8 years later, Bill Clinton has done very well with the economy, thank you much. Very much. Trent Lott says, I agree that Bill and Al deserve a lot of credit, but I'm talking about Bill Gates and Alan Greenspan. Well, if it's Bill Gates and Alan Greenspan who made the economy during Bill Clinton, where are they now? I think the last I looked, they're still around. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in Santa Cruz, California is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are on the air.
Tom.
Hey, Billy.
I want you to give back a third of your pay. What? You won't do it?
Yeah, I already do.
Well, what I'm referring to is this. Richard Grasso, the head of the NYSE, has just let us know that he's being paid $140 million for his some part of his 35 years of service.
NYSE being the New York Stock Exchange, for those who may
But, of course, now that we found out about it, He just agreed to give back $48 million of it.
Oh.
Would you give back money that you'd earned fair and square?
Well, I'm not sure, Billy, how anybody can earn.
That's right, my friend.
$1 million fair and square.
That's right. The fact
please tell me.
That, and now let's get to the Bush recession. The fact is that this recession, this first recession we had, is not the Bush recession. It was one that was sort of cooked into the books. But here's the bad news. The Bush recession, the non-Bush recession, the recession, does turn into the Bush depression. Or more likely, what you get now is, as my friend the billionaire George Soros says, the stop-and-go economy. We've burdened ourselves with such debt that in the moment, for example, we're going to have, as a result of all the stimulus, the false stimulus we're putting in, we're going to see a nice pop here in the economy just long enough for Bush to get reelected.
Right, just take us right over that little peak.
The bottom falls out for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they are hyping this thing, and they are doing it so many different ways. Reducing the tax on stock dividends, which is going to, you know, hype and pump the market itself.
Exactly.
The incredible spending on the war in Iraq. I mean, he had to have the war in Iraq out of the way early enough that spending would trickle back into the United States. I mean, he could have been building bridges, but instead they built bombs. And that money will be coming back here, and it will be stimulating the economy, as you said. But it's not the kind of stimulus that has any lasting effect, and it isn't the kind that leaves your infrastructure in better shape than it was before.
Absolutely. You know, the $87 billion, I might go along with it if I could get Bush and Cheney to sign the agreements that no companies that they are affiliated with or any of their top money givers are affiliated with can get any of the money. What do you know? They can't possibly do that.
Never going to happen, Billy. Never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
It's too bad that the people who would seek to lead are of such toxic personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's a problem of the system. Billy, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. You're always so spot on. And in my opinion, the problem is not just the people. I mean, we can sit around all day long and complain about George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and all these guys. I'll tell you, there are 1,000 more where they came from. There's 100,000 more where they came from. This isn't about bad people. This is about a system that is broken, that allows toxic people to acquire this kind of power. And that's what we need to fix. We need to fix the system, and we need to keep our eye on the fact that repairing the system has to be our first job and not get distracted by all this personality stuff, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to think there's good people and bad people out there. Ah, you know, it's Howard Dean, he's unstable. George Bush, he's an evil man. You know, yeah, everybody has their peculiarities. Bill Clinton can't keep his zipper up. You know, everybody has their idiosyncrasies. John Kennedy, too. And yet, as long as we are focusing on the personalities and the problems of the personalities, we are going to miss the fact that we have a dysfunctional system, and the core dysfunction of this system is that we allow corporations to participate in the political arena. They can't vote. They are not citizens. This is for 200 years in America, for 180 years, 150 years in America, the absolute, everybody knew, you learned it in civics class, it was taught in every school and college, corporations are not persons, they can't vote, therefore they can't involve themselves in politics. And we must go back to that. If we don't go back to that, then we are going to slide further and further into this neo-feudalism, also known, according to Benito Mussolini, as fascism, in which the corporations are running the government and they are picking your and my pocket for their benefit and doing it under the guise of something that they call privatization. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Michael in Santa Fe is on the line. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. First-time caller. I've been listening to your show in the past week since I got a job as a courier for a lab, and I am very encouraged. Anyways, I think the term you're looking for is called crony capitalism.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what happens when so much power is concentrated into one place, and it shows a breakdown of our system, is where, you know,
Americans have decided to sit on their backsides and watch reruns instead of getting involved in a political process. Their minds have become softened by materialism. And therefore, you know, who's really the ultimate fault of this whole thing is us, because we don't get up off our backsides and go and make a positive impact in our political scene. And politics,
Michael, may I interrupt you here? It's in part, it's, you know, if we're going, one of the great conservative lies is that the state of affairs is the result of the people screwing up. This is just a totally disempowering thing, and I just can't let it go by. We have people in the United States who are getting very active and who are very involved. Yes, we have too many people who don't vote, but there are some who would suggest, first of all, those people are voting. What they're saying is, this thing stinks. I'm not going to touch it. And secondly, it's to blame the victims is not to fix the system. I think we need that whole shtick is one that the conservatives love and that makes me crazy. It's not true. This is not our fault.
Well, you make a good point.
But we do have a responsibility to fix it.
Right.
Our country was stolen from us when we weren't looking.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I'll let you go.
It's time to take it back. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the call. This is the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Is Bush's handling of an inherited economy different from Clinton's? Oh, boy, is it ever. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 Motels are individually owned and operated.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Bill Clinton, when he inherited one of the worst economic disasters of the 20th century, perhaps second only to the Great Depression from George Bush Sr., put together an economic plan. George W. Bush, when he inherited the Bush economy, the strongest in the history of the United States by many measures, and it didn't start to tank, by the way, until after he took office and got his tax cut passed. They like to say it started to drop. There's a little wiggle during the debates there when they started talking it down, but the markets bounced back up. But anyhow, Clinton's economic plan made deficit reduction the priority of his first budget. It passed by one vote. Bush's plan, tax cuts for the rich. Clinton's plan raised income taxes. The richest 1.4% of Americans, making the tax system more progressive. Bush's plan, tax cuts for the rich. 1997, a five-year plan to eliminate the deficit from Bill Clinton. George Bush, tax cuts for the rich. Bill Clinton expanded earned income tax credit. George Bush, tax cuts for the rich. Bill Clinton contained the winter 1995-1996 Mexican peso crisis. George W. Bush, tax cuts for the rich. Bill Clinton doubled training funds for dislocated workers. Bush, tax cuts for the rich. Bill Clinton raised the minimum wage. Bush, tax cuts for the rich. Bill Clinton vetoed many GOP tax breaks for the rich. George W. Bush, tax breaks for the rich. Bill Clinton targeted tax cuts to lower and middle classes. George W. Bush, tax breaks for the rich. Bill Clinton reduced cost of bureaucracy of student loans. George W. Bush, tax breaks for the rich. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Cecil in Alabama is on the line. Cecil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hello, Tom. How you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Cecil?
Yeah, well, it's another life. Listen, you start thinking about this. There's already been $76 billion that went to Iraq already, and they're wanting to spend another $87 billion. And you do the math with approximately 4 million people out of work in the last 2 years here in the United States, plus companies exporting jobs to India and
Pakistan.
Got about
10 seconds here, Cecil.
Man, the numbers just don't add up, you know. I mean, basically what he's going to do is take all the money from the U.S. and send it to Iraq is what it turns out to be.
Yeah, certainly all of our education money. Cecil, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. An Iraqi child is dead and more than 50 people are wounded after a suicide car bomb exploded in northern Iraq. Residents say the car bomb detonated in front of a house being used by American intelligence agents. Six employees of the Department of Defense are among those wounded. Militant Palestinians today threatened to attack Israeli houses and offices after Israel targeted a Hamas leader. An Israeli warplane fired a missile at the home of the Hamas leader, wounding him and his wife. The attack killed his son and a bodyguard. The Israeli attack came after two Hamas suicide bombers detonated themselves inside Israel yesterday, killing as many as 15 people. Ahmad Khouria has formally accepted the nomination to become Palestinian Prime Minister. He replaces Mahmoud Abbas, who resigned last weekend. Khouria said actions must be taken by both sides to end the current circle of violence.
We are passing on a very dangerous historical moment. Each side should hold its responsibility carefully. We should put emotion aside. And we will think serious about the interest of our people in both sides, Palestinians and Israeli.
President Bush says the roadmap is still there, and he maintains cautiously optimistic stance on the Mideast peace. He asked about Palestinian leadership changes. The president said time will tell.
I still believe strongly that two states living side by side in peace is a hopeful vision for the future of the Middle East.
The president warned about terrorists trying to destroy the vision of peace between Israelis and Palestinians. He noted tough times in the Middle East, but said the vision is still there for peace. The U.S.-backed roadmap for Mideast peace is teetering after renewed violence in the region. The roadmap calls for security assurances for Israel and Palestinian statehood by 2005. More in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor. Because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Democrats and moderate Republicans joined up today to block the Bush administration's proposal on overtime pay. The Labor Department had been working on new overtime rules for white-collar workers. Democrats said those new rules would kill overtime for millions of Americans. A 22-year-old computer hacker faces federal charges after being accused of hacking into corporate systems. Adrian Lamo allegedly admitted he infiltrated companies like AOL, MCI, Yahoo, and others. He says he meant no harm. FBI in Sacramento, California arrested Lamo. Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 23 and the NASDAQ is off by 26. More after this.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It seems Ohio State is willing to part ways with suspended tailback Maurice Claret the same day Claret was charged with misdemeanor falsification for lying about items stolen from a car he borrowed from a dealer. Buckeyes coach Jim Tressel said he would allow him to transfer. During his weekly news conference yesterday, Tressel said Claret and his family need to do what is best for the running back.
I think that he needs to make, along with his family, whatever decision he thinks is best for him. But for me to have an opinion as to what it should be, no, I can't give an opinion.
Tressel also said that perhaps Claret wasn't ready to be put under the microscope at Ohio State. Talk about the one that got away somewhere in Florida. Perhaps in the pocket of a forgotten pair of pants or long-abandoned purse sits a lottery ticket that was worth $50 million. Florida lottery officials say the ticket was purchased at a food mart in the Miami area on March 12th. Whoever bought that ticket failed to claim it before the 180-day deadline. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. Every summer, callers on the Car Clinic Network ask what's causing that odor when I turn on my air conditioner. And the answer? Bacterial growth in the AC system. The good news is there's an ingenious process from BG Products that cleans and disinfects your entire ventilation system without having to dismantle it. You'll breathe easier with a BG ventilation service, and your car will smell like new. To find a shop that performs this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. One of the folks in our chat room, Pacecop, says, Tom, how can we have lost 3.5 million jobs while the population has been increasing, yet the unemployment rate is only 6.2%? The answer goes back to a little sleight-of-hand bookkeeping trick that was put into place, as I recall, during the Reagan administration, might have been during the first Bush administration, where they started changing the way they calculated what unemployed meant. It used to be that you were unemployed even if you took a part-time job making a few bucks an hour. It used to be you were unemployed if you had been looking for a job for more than 6 months or a year. They decided to say, well, after 6 months, we're just not going to count these people anymore. And if somebody who was making $30,000, $40,000 a year gets a job making $3,000 a year, we're going to call them employed. And so the reality is that the number of people who are unemployed and underemployed is massively huger than that 6.2%. In fact, the Republicans have been running around going, hey, unemployment just went from 6.2 down to 6.1%. The reason why is because a whole bunch of people hit that six-month point where they weren't counted anymore, but they still don't have a job. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Kodak, I want to thank you so much for waiting over the break and for holding on the line there. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Yes. First, I would like to say
thank you and give you the words of encouragement to continue on doing such a fine job at preparing us to win the water cooler wars. I'm sure there are a lot of days when you feel as if there's just no hope and despair and find it hard to continue on.
Well, actually, Kodak, there are times when I'm overwhelmed is not quite the right word, but I'm just amazed by what's going on. But I this country has been around a long time. I have a lot of hope for the future.
Good. I have 3 points, observations. First of all, this is the upcoming anniversary of the attacks there on the United States World Trade Center. We have a lot of people asking why. And for those people, I encourage to open up their mind to the truth and do some investigating to support why. You can ask anybody, and that it's not on top of the trash heap, why something like this can happen. Well, we are supposed to be the light of the world, and yet we only shine light on those who shine light on us. And then the thing with John Ashcroft, he was here in my state recently. And, yes, they came out and protested against him. And in the local paper, that was a shot of him and the local law enforcement officers all standing there saluting the flag on the pledge of allegiance. And to me, it just looked like they were all Nazi German guys standing at attention to the Führer. And that is increasingly more and more all that you see representing such a vast culture here in the United States.
Yeah, it's the caricature of patriotism, and it's called nationalism.
Right. And my third point, I'm tired of hearing people saying that we can't relieve Iraq. I understand that is a very complex issue. But one thing that we need to remember is that, yes, we can leave Iraq, but we still need a plan. It wouldn't be fair to those people. And since the neocons have such great high belief in the ability of capitalism and that it will solve all our problems, move to the United States military, and let's let Halliburton and the rest of them continue on in their way. And if they make a profit fine, everyone comes out to the better.
Yeah, well, see, they just appointed a privatization czar over there. They've got 147 companies in Iraq that have been targeted to be sold to the highest foreign bidder, and including oil companies and.
Yeah, I know that's a little facetious in the statement, but.
Oh, okay. Pardon me, I missed that.
Yeah, it just shows how ridiculous that whole notion about capitalism taking care of all mankind's woes. And one of the reasons why any plan that we have today is not going to work in Iraq is because we're working on the assumption of the ideals that we as Americans have. But those people over there have more than just a fiction. If I don't know any Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic will run up in a house and blow me up just because I don't believe like they believe. Yeah. So until we correct our arrogant thinking, we're still going to have problems throughout the world. Oh, and I saw Kucinich was interviewed by Diane Reeves today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. And she forced him right up to the wire about whether or not George Bush and that administration lied. Not altered the truth. She asked him, are you saying that did this administration lie to the American people? And he went right to the bar and he made his statement that, yes, there were many lies told by this administration, including George Bush. So I had to give him kudos for that.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm really looking forward this weekend. He and I and John Conyers and Marianne Williamson are all going to be speaking at the GRA annual conference in Washington D.C., and the four of us will be there on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm looking forward to meeting him having an opportunity.
I'd also like to say hi to everyone in the chat room. I was in there yesterday. You're right, being able to listen to your program and interact and see the feedback that's going on in the chat room is really a wonderful.
Yeah, That's great. I saw a name in there that looked like your name, and I thought, I wonder if that's Kodak the trucker.
Yeah. What happened was when I went to get Kodak, it was already taken. So what I had to do was get a variation of that.
Yeah, well, that's cool. It was great. It was great to see you there. Kodak, thanks for your comments, and thanks for dropping in the chat room. Do so anytime you're not driving that truck down the road.
And I encourage everyone to read as much information and literature that they can, and let no man, woman, child, mother, sister, daughter escape from your presence without at least hearing the truth. I let no one spew that dogmatic rhetoric to me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm there with you, Kodak. Thank you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, and that's the key to it, you know. Kodak has done such a good job of just boiling it down, and that is really the key to it. People go, "Oh, what can we do?" And you know, the conservatives, of course, they want you to believe that, "Oh, it's all your fault, and it's just getting, nobody cares, and nobody's going to vote, and just don't worry, let the corporations take care of it." No. No, it's time for us to get active. And the other big lie that the conservatives like to promote is, well, you know, we really trounced the Democrats and the liberals. It's, in fact, Al Gore got 500,000 more votes than George Bush. If Paul Wellstone hadn't died in that plane crash, the one that was eerily similar in the way the plane went down to the one of Mel Carnahan, the guy who was running against John Ashcroft for the United States Senate, Mel Carnahan, then the governor of Missouri. Ashcroft then was running against a dead guy and somehow managed to lose against a dead guy anyway, but, you know, it gave him a run for his money. But if Paul Wellstone hadn't died in Minnesota in that plane crash, and if the voting machines in the state of Georgia, which produced absolutely no paper trail whatsoever for an audit, that several people that we know of, certainly one of them, a regular member in our chat room, Zen Pickle, showed up and he crashed 7 voting machines in his precinct. And they had to reboot them and perhaps wipe out everything that was in them, all the votes up to that point, simply by trying to put in a write-in candidate. If those voting machines in the state of Georgia, which showed that Saxby Chambliss won when, in fact, all the polls showed that Max Cleland won, if those two things hadn't happened, the Democrats would still be in control of the United States Senate. If the Supreme Court had not intervened and they had actually counted the entire vote in the state of Florida, then, as the New York Times count found, if you look at the entire state, Al Gore would have won by several thousand votes, and if Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush had not knocked 90,000 people off the voters' rolls, roughly 3% of them actually convicted felons, 97% of them completely innocent people, except they had the same names as African Americans in Texas. If they hadn't knocked them off the voting rolls, there's no doubt George Bush would have swept, Al Gore would have swept Florida. So it's not like there was this huge conservative landslide. Instead, there was this little conservative squeaker. So don't despair, friends. Don't despair. The tide is turning. The American people are waking up. People are saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that handing everything over to a corporate? People are waking up. And I was, Kodak, thanks also for mentioning John Ashcroft, because that's what I wanted to get into next, was John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft was speaking, just a momentary alert here. I just got this off the chat room. If you want to drop into our chat room, what Kodak was talking about there, go to TomHartmanShow.com. Or TomHartman.com and click the link to the show, or LiberalTalkRadio.com will take you there too. And click on the link to the chat room. That'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button and boom, you drop into the chat room. And there's a whole bunch of folks in there, some of the most intelligent, insightful, interesting, fascinating, and thoughtful conversation out there on the internet that just happens to be live while we're on the air. And somebody pointed out that Don Rumsfeld is having a press conference or was giving a speech. I'd have to scroll up and see exactly where it was. And there was a whole group of people heckling him going, hey, Rumsfeld, how many troops have you killed today? A variation on the old chant from the 60s of, hey, LBJ, how many kids have you killed today? And Rumsfeld just kind of shrugged and paused while probably they dragged him out of the room and then continued on. Which reminds me, I'm curious what the LaRouches were ranting about last night in the Democratic thing, but that's a whole other thing. The LaRouches are always a little strange, but every now and then they actually have something interesting to say. But let's get into John Ashcroft's similar problem. John Ashcroft at Faneuil Hall. Some would say the home of democracy, Faneuil Hall in Boston, where extraordinary events happened back in the 1700s. And Faneuil Hall will hold somewhere between 1,500 and 1,700 people. And according to the Boston police estimate, and of course generally with police estimates you can double them, but according to the Boston police estimate, 1,600 people showed up outside Faneuil Hall to protest John Ashcroft and his little tour, his U.S. Patriot Act, his U.S. Victory Tour, where he's going around the country saying to people, the Patriot Act is a good thing and we need more of it. Yeah, right. Is this guy breaking the law? Breaking the campaign laws? Good case to be made for it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. You're in the Democracy Zone, and we'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
This is Mike Malloy. Another year has passed since the attacks against us on September 11th, 2001. Another year and still the refusal of the Bush administration to investigate the massacre of 3,000 people on U.S. soil. Another year of killing authorized by the Bush administration of civilians in two countries who had absolutely nothing to do with the terrorism conducted against us. Another year marking the absolute failure of leadership of the Bush administration. How much longer until we, the citizens of this country, say enough? I'm Mike Malloy.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
Sounds good
on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Let's dream of democracy in the United States. Let's dream of freedom. Let's dream of the freedom to speak your mind. Let's dream of the freedom to go to a bookstore and not think that the government is snooping on you. Let's dream of the freedom to send an email and not think that John Ashcroft is reading it. Let's dream of the freedom to be able to have a telephone conversation and not think that it's being listened in on. Let's dream of the freedom to leave your house and not think that the local police are going to do a sneak and peek search under the Patriot Act. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 25 minutes after the hour, and we have, John in Long Beach is on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I'd like to preface. I've got a couple of questions to ask you, but first I want to say it's related to Kathleen Harris in the 2000 vote and, taking 90,000 people off the roll.
Right.
Then in 2002, when the woman that was in Clinton's administration ran in Florida.
Right, the former Attorney General, Jenna Reno.
Reno. And she claims that she lost because that a role thing had not been rectified.
That's right, and it hadn't. The other problem, just real quickly here, is that a lot of people who voted for the Democratic candidates, the votes were registered as Republican votes, and they claimed that this was a problem with misaligned touch screens on the machines, on the touch screen voting machines. This
is the
2002 election.
Why has the two questions? First of all, why hasn't that been rectified? Because Kathleen Harris said it was going to be. And secondly of all, why haven't federal charges been brought against Harris and the other people that are responsible for this?
The answer to both questions is because the Bush family is in charge of both Florida and the United States of America.
There's no way to get around that.
It just boils down to that. It was supposed to be cleaned up by 2002. It wasn't. Now they're saying it'll be cleaned up by 2004. What I'm hearing is that it's not going to be. The voting machines, nobody has looked into why they were recording Republican votes when Democrat buttons were pushed during the 2002 election. And, and on it goes. It's time. But that's the bad news. The good news.
They're not going to get rid of those machines.
No, and it's interesting. The good news, John, is that last weekend in Philadelphia, there was a meeting where people showed up. A friend of mine, Rob Call, from who publishes opednews.com, showed up, and people were yelling and screaming about the voting machines. People are actually starting to get together about this. Representative Rush Holt, we're trying to get him on the program here, has introduced legislation into the United States House of Representatives to require these voting machines to be more accurate. But I think, in the face of the doubt, we should just back away altogether and go to the same system that all of Europe uses, which is you mark down on a piece of paper, you put an X next to the name of the person you want to vote for.
Let me ask you this. Would you be better off voting absentee vote?
Well, it's perhaps. I mean, another one of the problems with the Florida count was that a lot of the absentee votes, many of the military absentee votes that came in late, were still counted because they overwhelmingly favored George Bush, the Republican candidate, and many of them were processed by Republican campaign operatives. They were handled, and they just took big batches of bulk votes, of bulk mail, And then after they had sorted them, said, well, here's the votes. You go, you count them. And nobody knows if any Democratic votes were thrown away or not.
Can't so, come back to the same thing I've said before. If we're not able to get this guy out before 204, he's going to get back in unless something drastic happens. And we'll have four more years. And actually, if he gets back in for another term, the ball game's over.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe the ball game is just going to change. John, people, you know, keep in mind, more people voted for Al Gore than for George Bush, and those people are paying attention. A lot of them aren't paying attention right now, but when the election cycle begins, they are going to start paying attention. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The promise of the American dream turned into a nightmare for immigrant workers employed by the John Pickle Company of Tulsa. That's what 52 Indian immigrants argued as their case against the Oklahoma manufacturer opened this week in a federal court. The welders, fitters, and electricians say they were recruited to come to the U.S. through promises of high wages and furnished apartments. Instead, the workers charged, they were paid only $2 to $3 an hour and forced to live in a factory dormitory. The John Pickle Company faces charges of human trafficking, violations of the Fair Labor Standards Act, and a discrimination charge from the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. The company argues the immigrants were trainees and not employees and therefore not entitled to minimum wage.
It's official. Woefully understaffed nursing homes and hospitals were directly related to the deaths of thousands of elderly French citizens during an August heat wave. A new government report says that 11,000 people died as a direct result of the heat, many of them in nursing homes. But numbers kept by doctors put the death toll closer to 15,000. The government says the understaffing problem at health facilities was made worse by the fact that many people were on their yearly vacation, typically taken in August in France.
California businesses could soon be required to purchase health insurance for their employees. A bill introduced by San Francisco Senator John Burton would require businesses that employ 20 or more workers to either purchase health insurance for them or to contribute funds to a state-run pool that would in turn provide health coverage. Companies with 200 or more employees would also be required to cover the families of workers. Already, the legislation faces fierce resistance from business groups and the California Chamber of Commerce, which argues the bill would have a $4 billion price tag and would drive business from the state.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. The vast, radical middle conspiracy takes place right here and right now. Take no imitations. John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft. You know, sometimes when I tend not to like engaging in personal attacks against people that I think are buffoons, but every now and then you just get the sense that there's actually foam around the edges of his mouth. Here's a comment that John Ashcroft has made recently in his tour promoting the Victory Act, the Patriot II.
And while our job is not yet finished, we have used the tools provided in the Patriot Act to fulfill our first responsibility to
there
protect
it goes.
The American people.
Yeah, right.
We have used these tools to prevent terrorists from unleashing more death and destruction on our soil. We have used these tools to save innocent American lives. We have used these tools to provide the security that ensures liberty.
The security that ensures liberty. I believe it was Ben Franklin who said something to the effect of, people who are willing to trade their security for their liberty deserve neither. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And George in Santa Fe is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, George.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, George,
what's
up? I
appreciate your eloquence.
Thank you.
I think this is all just reaching a high pitch of absurdity, and it's accelerating. I mean, we might not even be able to have an election. I mean, with all the doubt cast on it, where is the democracy?
Yeah, well, that's the hope of the people like Rebecca Mercury and Lynn Landis.
They're very successful at this, and you know, we're faced with developing some kind of policy for the world. This is all global now. I mean, this isn't about just the U.S. We're not alone here. George Bush is president of the world.
No, he's not.
Well,
you know, I'm sorry, George. There's a lot of, you know, here in America, it's very easy to think that. I've lived in Europe, and I can tell you, he's not president of the world, and
well,
he
not terribly.
Vastly overestimated America's power.
Yeah, well,
what's happening.
I hope you're right. But
oh no, I mean, we our army is all tied up in knots over some little country in the middle of the Middle East that didn't even have an air force.
Well, I mean, with this accelerating rate of absurdity here, I mean, you know, they can pull some stops that are just, you know, really frightening to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that there's a very real risk in the United States of vote rigging with these electronic vote machines. And I think, and frankly, I believe that it's happened. I believe that it happened in the 2002 election, at least in the state of Georgia. And I think that it's entirely possible that it could happen again. And as a result of people talking about that, as a result of Bev Harris writing Black Box Voting and her website, blackboxvoting.com, and Lynn Landis and her website, the name of which escapes me at the moment, and Rebecca Mercury and her work and the three articles that I wrote for Common Dreams and for Alternet, people are waking up. People are getting energized around this issue. People are getting hot about it, and I think things are going to change. And no efforts on the part of John Ashcroft to try and keep this away from people are going to be successful. I mean,
the pitch of media and the information, I mean, just the level of acceleration.
Yeah.
It's really, I think, you know, we're going to be in some kind of storm of absurdity.
George, it has, I understand how you can feel that way, but it has been worse before. Back in 1798, when John Adams, the second president of the United States, was president of the United States, the first real doctrinaire Federalist, what today you would call a Republican, he got very upset because Thomas Jefferson and others of the Democratic Republican Party, which is now called the Democratic Party, there were about 20 newspapers that were owned by, back then you had Democratic Republican newspapers and Federalist newspapers, what today you call Democratic newspapers and Republican newspapers. And he got all upset about them calling him names. His wife just went into a fury. One guy called him an old, toothless, querulous crank. He was riding through town in Delaware, through a town one day, and there was a guy in a bar who made a remark about him, and he had him arrested and thrown into prison. He had 20 of these newspaper editors arrested and thrown into prison. Thomas Jefferson left town the day that the Alien and Sedition Acts, which was almost identical to the Patriot Act in many regards, were signed back. Actually, not identical. It was worse than the Patriot Act. And Thomas Jefferson left town to protest it. Jefferson was vice president at the time. And this was the thing that brought down John Adams. And I think that this overreaching that this administration is doing right now, both with their military, this lunacy in Iraq, with the destruction of personal liberty in the United States, 52% of Americans are worried about John Ashcroft and the Patriot Act and think that it's gone over the top. And that's before people have really even started to wake up to these kind of issues. So, George, thanks for your call. I appreciate your comment. And I really think that there is... You know, things have gotten a lot worse in the past, and we have come back from the edge, and I think we're going to come back from the edge again. I'm not frankly all that worried about it. I just I'm not worried about it as in, you know, pulling my hair out. Oh my God, everything is gone. On the other hand, I think that it is critically important that people like you and people like me and people like Rob continue to say, hey, this is what's going on. And one of those folks who's doing that is Rob in Pennsylvania, who runs opednews.com, a great news source. You'll find links to it off my website, right up there with Common Dreams and Alternet and a whole bunch of them. And Rob appears to be on the telephone right now. It's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the program, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. It was a very interesting conference that Lynn Landy's put on, a forum on computerized voting and the threats to them. It was good to see that people are getting active about it, but it was also kind of discouraging, too, because when I asked my question, it was, what's the chance that a law is going to be passed or they're actually going to be able to prevent the same things from happening in 2004? And I didn't get real strong answers. The Rush Holt bill is written so that the 2004 election will be required to be modified, but only 40 congressmen have signed on. And what blows my mind is not one Republican congressman has decided that it's important to make safe, legal elections.
Yeah.
Rob,
I think that the flip side of that is, it probably is not going to happen in time for the 2004 election. In fact, it certainly isn't going to happen for most of the country. But what has happened is that whatever vote theft that happened, where you've got three different officials in Texas, for example, who received the same identical 18,181 votes, which is apparently the work of a random number generator that's been seeded with the number 0.000055. If you put that number into a calculator and do the 1 over x function, the divide by 1 function, you get 18181 and 0.18181 and on it goes. And, apparently in Texas and in Georgia, there was something really, really wrong that happened with these voting machines. And they were able to do it in secret in 2002. Nobody was paying attention to it. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off in 2004. I think that if somebody tries to hack these machines and rig this vote in 2004, the ceiling's going to fall in.
The answer, because we're not going to be able, there are two possibilities. One, states can pass legislation in time. And they're beginning to put together model legislation that'll be available very soon on Lynn Landy's website. By the way, she's one of the only people who has, as far as I can tell, no connection with anybody else that's doing this investigation.
Yeah, she's got no dog in this fight.
Yeah.
What's her website? I forgot.
Ecotalk.org.
Ecotalk.org. That's right. Thank you, Rob.
She's got a lot of stuff on the computer. The other thing is we've got to get out and vote. As many people have to get out and vote, and there has to be exit polls again. Only this time it's going to have to be independent people doing it, not the media who are owned by Murdoch and Bush anyway.
This is something that I think the Democratic Party should be engaging in organizing. And if not the Democratic Party, perhaps independents, this might be a great thing for the MoveOn.org folks to take on, let's create exit polls again. Why don't you do it through Op-Ed News? Maybe you can create a national movement to do exit polls. And the other thing, and Rob, thank you for your comments. I appreciate the call. And the other thing is that the whole notion of voting has to be preceded by registering. We've got this fairly clunky system in the United States where you have to register in order to vote. I was talking to a young person the other day, a friend of one of my kids, over 21 recently, and talking about how she was going to vote. And I said, have you registered to vote? And she's like, no, I didn't, you know, I forgot, you know. And I know a lot of people, particularly young people, they get caught. You know, it's time to vote, and the window for registration is closed, depending on when it is and how it's done in the state that you're living in. So get out and register right now to vote, because we need to take back democracy. We need to once again have a majority of Americans vote for the rational candidate. And this time, maybe just a few more. And even with their vote rigging and their nonsense, and they're trying to get the Supreme Court in, and they're disenfranchising African-American voters and all that, we can still beat them. We can still make it clear what the will of the people is in the United States, here in the United States. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Stephen in Alabama is on the line. Stephen, welcome to... Oh, he's hung up. Okay, thanks, Char. Stephen, if you were on hold and you were despairing that I wasn't going to get to your call, feel free to call back. The lines are open, 1-800-825-5937. Back to John Ashcroft. Seattle. A library in Seattle printed 3,000 bookmarks warning patrons that the FBI could review their reading records and never have it reported. In Boston, a state legislator's bank blocked a $300 transfer because her husband had a suspicious name. In Hillsboro, Oregon, Police Chief Ron Louie has ordered his officers to refuse assistance in federal terrorism investigations that his department believes violate state laws or constitutional rights. A May 2003 CBS poll showed 52%, this is why Ashcroft is doing his campaign thing on the road, 52% of Americans are concerned about losing their civil liberties under this Patriot Act and John Ashcroft. Stephen Alabama is back on the line. Welcome back, Stephen. What's up?
How you doing, Tom?
I am great. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm a 29-year-old. I just got out of the Marines not too long ago.
And welcome back.
And, I wasn't over there. I was not in active duty. I mean, yeah. I was in the Marines and got out. But the stuff with Iraq, though, I heard you say that. Are Marines or not? We're not able enough to take on our army.
Well, I think Marines can kick butt anywhere on the planet. What I'm saying is that we have 140,000 troops tied down in Iraq, which means that we can't fight anybody else anywhere else because we are stretched to the point. You know, it's the army
troops.
Too. Yeah,
They're mostly army troops. See, we still got the Air Force and the Marines and the National Guard. I mean,
and the Navy.
Yeah, we can take over just about any country we want to, but I mean, I don't think we all
can
do
hold
that.
Yeah,
I don't agree with war, any war, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. I mean, I just don't believe in going to war. But the only thing I don't like about Bush and what he hasn't really done is our jobs.
Yeah.
Our jobs is going off over to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
it's a terrible situation. It's a terrible situation, Stephen, where people like you come back from serving our country and are faced with the possibility that the only kind of job you can find is working at McDonald's or at Walmart. And you can't support a family on that.
Well, they got to do something about this. And sure, if you look at it, you can take a whole plant overseas to Afghanistan, to some little bitty third world country, pay them like 50 cents an hour and don't have to have the EPA or none of this other stuff to worry about. And they go send the product back over here for about as much as they was selling it here when they was making it here, and they're making a big old profit, and we're losing.
No, it's not right, Stephen. We need to go back to the way that this country was run for 220 years, more or less, where we actually said, okay, we are going to have an economy here in the United States that helps the United States. And other countries said, we're going to have an economy in our country that helps our country, because this whole free trade myth has created poverty all over the world. This is the problem that they're confronting in Cancun right now, is that free trade is the only group that has benefited from what they call free trade, which is neither free nor trade. The only group that has benefited from it are the huge multinational corporations and the right-wing shills that they pay to front for them and run around saying, oh, it's wonderful, oh, it's good, this is how it should be. Yes, we need to have more free trade. Free trade's the key to everything. And you see them on the media and you hear them frothing on right-wing talk shows and you know, as they're raking in their piles of cash, and folks who are just looking for a job in America are screwed.
Yeah, we just had a Democratic governor in here, Don Singleman. He's a good guy. He got Mercedes-Benz in here. He got Honda. He's got places. I mean, jobs was coming in. All right, then we got a Republican come in. I don't know how he beat out the Democrat.
Well, actually, he didn't. According to the vote count, the Democrat won, and then they changed, and then they found some extra votes after the polls on an electronic machine.
Yeah, and the only thing that he come in with, he said he wasn't going to raise taxes, and then he opposes a $1.2 billion tax plan, package amendment, is what he called it. But he got beat down 2-1 on that. We just voted on it yesterday, and I don't know what he's going to do is sit back and punt now, but it didn't
gonna
get
be interesting.
Through.
It's going to be interesting. Stephen, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in, and I appreciate your comments, and thank you for your service to your nation. It is an important and noble thing to be doing in these difficult times. It certainly is. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the Democracy Zone on Talk Radio for the rest of us. The IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-DEAL today.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Tom
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
A stick, a stone, it's the end of the road. It's the rest of a stump, it's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass, it is light, it's the sun. It is night, it is death, it's a trap, it's a gun.
Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. John Ashcroft. The ACLU and the Electronic Privacy Center used the Freedom of Information Act to sue the Justice Department. They got a six-page list of national security letters, and every single line was blacked out. The House and the Senate, who are supposed to oversee the Justice Department, judiciary committees of both the House and Senate have been denied information by the Justice Department about actions that the Justice Department has taken under the Patriot Act, and now John Ashcroft is on the road talking only to private, to invited law enforcement audiences. 1-800-TALK, yes, Sean in Georgia is on the line. Sean, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I wanted comment on, Stephen, the gentleman who called in from the former Marine. I'm in the Army right now, active duty, and I like to tell him, yeah, the Marine Corps, the Army, U.S. military can kick ass anywhere in the world, but should we kick ass anywhere in the world?
I mean, well, I think Stephen was raising that same question.
I think that obviously, I listen to your show and I listen to a lot of this liberal talk radio, and I'm really sick of this stuff. I'm sick of hearing these lies that the current administration is putting out. They twist the truth so badly, saying that, oh, this is all about 9/11, when Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. In fact, I submit that Saddam Hussein probably killed more terrorists and stopped more terrorism in his own country than we have.
Yeah, I heard in the news last night that something like 30... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, John Ashcroft and his Patriot Act and the military going into Iraq and stuff like that. You know, what terrorism have they stopped? And Saddam Hussein cracked down on terrorists in his own country because he felt they were a threat to his authority.
Yeah.
So he's a bigger terrorism
it's a
killer
mess
than we are.
It's a mess. Sean, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing that. I agree with you, and I appreciate it. and tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're